The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Touch on some subjects today that aren't talked about a lot. We're going to talk about the failed recall people and their funny new healthcare campus they want to put in. We're going to talk about the No Kings rally, and we're going to talk about a bunch of things. There's a few things that people don't understand about this government shutdown. Good morning. I'm Nick Gardner. This is my guest co-host, Doug Jenke, here.
You call me a guest co-host? I've been on this thing with you 3 years. I should almost be like a fixture.
Another year.
Yeah, well, you know, the contract's up for renewal. You might get a player to be named later. Folks, good morning. KCNR 1460 AM, 96 FM, and KCNR 1460.com. There we go. Dad's happy. We've moved on.
1470 AM. You know, I was...
1470 AM?
Yeah. 1460 AM.
Joe Biden has entered the house, please. Joe Biden is here.
I was
bring it back, Nick.
Talking to somebody, and they told me that a lot of older people go to the AM. That's what they've done. It's like those people that are stuck and won't buy a cell phone. It's just they go there, and if they don't want to go to FM and they don't have a computer, so we need to let people know we're on AM also.
Well, you know, the funny thing is Nick.
Streaming from the corners of the city limits of Redding, California.
Well, you know, the funny thing is, they wouldn't hear us telling them to listen to us if they weren't already here listening to us. So that's always just kind of
that's a heavy thought. Where'd you come up with that?
You know, I actually on the way down from Shingletucky thought about that and thought, you know, if we say welcome to KCNR, expecting new people to come to KCNR, but they're already here. There.
That's right.
Thought of the day.
That's right. But Carl insists that we say that.
I don't think Carl does. I think the FCC does. But continue.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think so. I think we have to require that.
Well, we're going to go to clip number one. Clip number one is going to tell you exactly why we have a government shutdown, and all this other crap you're hearing about it is just add-ons that they want to make Trump and the conservatives look bad. So are you ready with clip number one? Oh, yeah, we got a nod. Here it goes.
General, I feel like the Republicans are the party of trying to save some money, and that money is taxpayer money.
Well, we are, this shutdown is really very simple. Now, the Democrats have tried to muddy the water to make it look deep, but here's what happened. Tuesday, 2 weeks ago, our country was just rocking along, minding its own business. The budget expired. Our budget expired that day at midnight, but we've been talking to the Democrats about working on a new budget. And I thought we were making progress, and then all of a sudden, Senator Schumer came to us and said, here's the deal. Unless you give us $1.5 trillion to spend as we tell you, we're going to vote to shut down the government.
So
and, you know, our heads snapped back. My mother didn't raise a fool, and if she did, it was one of my brothers. There's no way I was going to vote for that. There's no way President Trump was going to support that. There's no way my Republican colleagues were going to vote for that. And so we just said, well, do what you got to do, because we're not giving you $1.5 trillion. We're trying to reduce the size of the government. And that's really what's going on, Adam. We're not asking for anything. We're not asking for a single solitary thing except keep government open so we can negotiate a budget. And that's what's going on.
And all the rest of it is just chatter.
Well,
we're running out of SNAP payments.
Well, yeah. Well, that in by itself leads to the question is, what in the world is nearly 15% of our population doing on food stamps in the most developed, richest country on planet Earth? 41 million people out of 340 million people collect food stamps. You want to talk about sucking at the government, teat. That's to me, that actually was eye-opening that we have 41 million people who rely on food stamps, because guaranteed not 41 million people rely on food stamps. I've been on food stamps. When I was younger, my family was homeless twice. Food stamps got us through. I'll be the first to defend that part of it. But 41 million people in 2025 in the United States of America, that's ridiculous.
In my opinion, food stamps should be a hand up, not something that goes on generational.
Well, you know, what's different here, Nick, I'm bringing up SNAP program, I guess is what it would be, is, you know, when I was young and we had to go into the store, we had these coupon booklets.
We had a SNAP program at Enterprise High School. That's when you snap the girls' bras. Oh, that's sexual harassment.
Yeah, oh, there goes Nick. Nick goes down that avenue. I'm trying to be serious here. But no, you would go to the checkout stand and you'd have these books, you know, brown was like $1, yellow was what, but you'd have to pull out in front of everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. And you would give it to them. Now EBT is like, it's just like a credit card. There's no stigma. For us, it was a gigantic mental stigma that my family, while I was in high school, we had to have food stamps and you'd just be devastated if you were in line and a friend of yours saw you on food stamps.
Oh, yeah.
And nowadays, that's not the case. And then the fact that nearly 14-something%, I think, of our population is on food stamps, I'll bet you money, if you actually look at those numbers, there's a large percentage of illegals on that, too.
You know, when I was about 20, one of the real popular guys around town, he got married and had a couple kids and couldn't support himself or his family. So he was, and he was just worthless as tits on a slab of bacon. He was getting food stamps, and I bought $20 worth of food stamps from him for $10, and I was ashamed to use them.
Yeah.
I went in the store and I, oh no, I'm not going to do this.
There used to be a stigma to that, and now
Well, that's why they gave them credit cards, so they wouldn't feel so bad.
Well, yeah, because you don't want people to feel bad because they're going through hard times, I guess. And so, yeah, the shutdown is, you know, I like Kennedy as a congressman. I think he's very good, but stop lying to us. The Republicans have no desire to cut the budget and save money. I mean, they are spending, we're going to add more debt to our national debt under 8 years of Donald Trump than almost all the presidents before him combined. So when Kennedy gets up and says, well, we're trying to save money, he's full of crap. He's lying through his teeth. The only one out there, or actually the only two out there that are being relatively honest, and old Donnie's gotten a target on him, is Ron Paul and Thomas Massey. Those are the two that are actually speaking the truth. They're being honest and say, hey, we are in tough times. Everybody else, including Kennedy, and I like him, is they're lying when they say they're trying to save money. So this shutdown, and you know the worst part is, Nick, once they fund it, every single penny that was not paid out to the federal employees, they get repaid anyways.
Well, I kind of get the impression that some of them are fired and they're not going to come back.
Well, what's funny is I read something that said that might be Trump.
50,000 people.
Well, I thought that was funny because one of the things that I was reading, a person that I think is pretty on it, said the Democrats, by allowing this to happen, have given Trump the ability to fire a lot of their people. Versus when they were on the dole, he really couldn't fire them. Now he can. So the Democrats might have actually shot themselves by allowing him to start laying people off.
That's
so there
right.
You go. There you
yeah.
go.
Well, they're making a lot of changes that they wouldn't have had the opportunity to make had this not come up. But so anyway, I have the salary of Barry Tippin for 2025. You know,
drum roll.
They generally don't let that out until the end of the year.
Since he retired, he's no longer an employee anyways.
Yeah, but the city of Reading, this current city council, doesn't want you to know that they gave Barry Tippin a great big raise, $37,000. He went from $330,000 to $367,000 for 2025. And he turned in vacation time and sick leave to the tune of $254,000. So his total compensation from us, that's counting a phone for $215 and $4,500 for a car, $226,000 this year.
No, your numbers are wrong.
Oh, that's right. $626,000. $626,000, and that's not counting health insurance and pension liability. In 2024, when he made $330,000, his health insurance was $100,000, and his PARS, his CalPARS retirement,
CalPARS, yeah,
was $156,000. So you put that on top of that, and you're $900,000 that he cost us for the last year of his employment.
Maybe he's on the Affordable Care Act. Where could you spend $100,000 on health insurance for a human being?
You know, and I thought the city of Reading was self-insured when it came to health insurance.
Yeah, I don't think they could do that. Self-insured, maybe, I guess, if there was like an underlying carrier like Lloyd's of London, but $100,000 in premiums, that's $9,000 a month. That doesn't even make sense.
And you go up and down Transparent California, and I don't have it here, but they're all like that, all of the management that are making big bucks. Last year, there was five of them whose total compensation was over $500,000 a year.
In the city of Reading.
That's right. And the top guy was a police officer. It was $662,000 a year. But I understand he cashed in a bunch of vacation pay and sick days. How can you bank up sick days?
Well, that's the thing is, you know, the government is so blanking corrupt. I'm just saying that blanking. You and I in the private sector, we don't get to carry our sick days forward. If we don't use them, we lose them. And yet government employees, my brother included, he works for the federal government. If he doesn't take his sick days or vacation days, they just move forward to the next year. And I mean, a couple years back, he got to take like 4 weeks off on sick time. You and I in the private sector don't have that luxury. Why do we give it to the people that bust our balls when we go to the thing for a building permit? Why do we do that?
I've never had a job where you got sick pay. Yeah. I always worked when I was sick. I wanted to take a day off when I felt good. Well, really? What's the sense in staying home when you feel bad?
Well, in the private sector, I think you get 5 sick days a year, I think. And I don't think that actually goes up. I think it's 5-6 sick days a year. And if you're lucky, you've worked for an entire year. You get 1 week of paid vacation at many places. These people in the government, and yes, I'm beating on them because crying out loud, they have pension packages, salary packages. Tippin's making more than 9 families are making a month, you know, or in a year. He's making it by himself. And the old thing, well, he's managing a big thing. Too bad. He's in the public sector. He's a public employee.
Well, in my opinion, he's done a poor job managing it also.
Well, we can get into all that another day, but that's a lot of money because, you know, you think about it. We're trying to rob with this Measure A. I mean, folks, think of it this way. If their numbers are right, and if it's coming from that Rosen dude, whatever the guy's name is, they're probably not. But there's supposed to be a $30 million boost if Measure A passes.
Robinette. Greg Robinette.
Which all of his numbers have been wrong to begin with from the beginning. Why that guy is not fired and loses his pension, I don't know. But the point is, his numbers have been wrong. They based all these projections on his numbers. So these numbers are supposed to be that we're going to get $30 million on Measure A. Well, they say half of it's going to come from the locals. So just let this sink in. Every single month, you as a private citizen are going to lose $1 million out of our bank accounts to fund more government. Let that sink in. $1 million a month out of the private taxpayers' wallets is going to go to create more government. And name one time in history ever where more government resulted in anything factually good.
I'm working on my second million. I skipped the first million. It was too hard to make. I'm starting right now. Anyway, his raises since 2020 to 2015 or 2025 was $133,500. That's for 5 years.
Yeah, that's $25,000-$26,000 a year. $2,000 a month he's gotten raises since the pandemic, since the shamdemic, the plandemic, whatever demic.
When the average wage in Redding, California for one person is $37,000.
Exactly.
And these guys are factored into that. So the honest tax-producing working man is far below that $37,000.
If they took government out of the salary structure, the average wage for the working class stiff in America would be going down, actually. To be
way
quite
down.
Yeah.
Not just a little way.
Yeah.
Wonder how many $37,000 a year people it took to make up for Barry's
Well, I mean, that's, you know, 10 people working to earn what Barry makes as base salary. And then you just want another double on that for his pension and everything else. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
But Nick, we're broke. We need to raise $30 million. We're broke. I think Patrick Jones said it absolutely best. We don't have a revenue problem. We have a spending problem. And when I was on the show with Carl,
he plagiarized that from Ronald Reagan.
That's perfectly fine. I don't care. I heard it from Patrick. So I'm going to give Patrick the Mount Rushmore Award. But the reality is, when I had that debate with Carl at the beginning of the month on his Thursday show, I kept saying, we need to cut salaries. Like the private sector, when you don't make money at Home Depot, they lay people off. You don't get raises. You don't get this. In the public sector, we just raise more taxes. We need to actually start cutting salaries. That's what we need to do.
Well, we're putting the government at a disadvantage if we take money away from them and don't give them more money, because that's all they know how to do is spend money.
Well, I got to say, it would probably be sad if we did a 10% across the board for management and up, not wage and
20.
I'd go 10 to start out. Let's see how that goes, because they will squeal like pigs anyways, as would I. But let's do a 10% across the management down. That'll save a couple $1 million a year. That starts to close that hole. And let's see what happens from there. But no, we're being asked to give up over $1 million a month. And Debbie brought it to my attention that this tax is, air quotes, Reading. So the question becomes, is it based on city limits or is it based on zip code? Because 01, 02, and 03 encompass a whole lot of the county.
Myself included.
But they're Reading zip codes. So, Debbie, I don't know the answer, but if somebody should know the answer, is this a city limit tax, or is it just go based on zip code? Because...
Well, it's a city limit tax. It's going to be based on zip code when you order online.
Which is funny. It's because if you're living just outside the city limits, you're going to be paying towards this $1 million a month out of your pocket, and you're going to get zero. Zero. You don't get a new firefighter. You don't get a new cop. You don't get a fire station. So, folks, just think about this.
You know,
since when does more government make sense?
I tried to bring up last week and was, or last time we were on and was cut off about the fire station, and it's costing so damn much. The city of Reading could do the same thing that Caltrans did with their inspection facility up by Benton Air Park. They wanted a brand new facility, and they couldn't afford it because of prevailing wage and all the government. Well, one of the contractors says, why don't I buy it? You rent it from me for a couple of years and then buy it from me. That's the same thing they did with the Sheraton down there.
Mm-hmm.
They could take and sell the property that they're going to build that on, have a private entity build it, probably get a better facility than what they're going to get through taxpayer money and prevailing wage, rent it for a couple of years and buy it for them.
Well, you know, what I would recommend is let's hire the same contractor who built the courthouse. That's only been closed.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I think they've got some good plumbers working on that one. I really think we should hire those people to do a fire station.
I heard it was leaning. I don't know if that's true.
I have no idea who it is, so I'm not going to throw names, but I'm just going to say a brand new multi-bazillion dollar courthouse, and they can't use it because the plumbing broke immediately.
Oh, yeah, and flooded all the electrical.
That's what I'm saying. Let's hire that person. That's probably a reason. And the question I want to know is, that piece of poo who built that with that fault, are they going to be liable for all of the repairs, or are we fitting the bill?
I'm pretty sure there's an insurance claim in there. Already went bankrupt. You know, I'm curious about this cancer center they're building down there off of Cypress. As with the courthouse up there, is that local talent they're using to build that? I doubt it.
I don't know.
You live
down the street. You should walk up there on a nice walk with your doggy and start asking them, where do you guys come from? You guys from here in Reading? I'll bet you money you'll find out they're not.
Well, I've talked to a couple of them.
Yeah.
Different phases of the construction, and they're just up here till it's done.
Well, I think I will say, I'll put in a plug. I do know that when it was dirt work, it was Eddie Axner's crew was down there. So that was local. I know that for sure.
Yeah, they're still down there.
Yeah, but I'm just saying. So I know for sure that the dirt work anyways.
It's going
Eddie.
Up quick.
Yes,
they're
it is.
They're putting that building up quick.
We have a lot of cancer patients, so it needs to get done anyways. So, Nick, you've got like 17 pages of notes here. What else we got going, my friend? Because I got a whole bunch of stuff around the world if we ever get to that point.
Oh, okay. Well, I took a drive into Big Bend Friday with my buddy Thomas.
Yeah?
Went to Iron Canyon Reservoir. For the next 2 weeks, the scenery is going to be absolutely spectacular with the leaves changing. They're just, you know, it was just at the beginning stages Friday. If you get a chance to take a drive, that's a wonderful drive right now. Or the drive to Bernie. And the best fall color drive in Shasta County is from Bernie over to Mount Shasta.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a nice road. Well, you know, if you're looking for something nice in the springtime, I wish I could have like a more accurate, but if you really want something crazy spectacular, go out Dry Creek Road out in Bella Vista. So head up, what is that, Dry Creek, head north. No, not Dry Creek. What's the one that's from? Deschutes. Head up north on Deschutes, left for 299, and then turn right on Dry Creek and go back up in there. I went there a couple years ago at the exact right time. The entire, everything in there was poppy orange.
Yeah.
It was so cool. So
it's
there you
so
go.
Neat when you peg it just like that. Hey, I got another clip. Are we ready for that last clip on this first half? Let's play that. This is Kash Patel.
Some Republicans, Mr. Director, argue that Nancy Pelosi staged January 6th and the Select Committee covered it up. Based on what you personally know, what are the verifiable events in the lead ups? And do you, I know you don't speculate, you just deal with facts.
I'm in a unique position. Remember, I was Chief of Staff for the Department of Defense on January 6th. We were responsible for the deployment of the National Guard. And what I was forced to testify to years ago at great personal cost has now once again, just like Russiagate, been proven true because all I do is speak the truth. On January, actually in the days before January 6th, we were in the Oval Office where the President, President Trump at the time, authorized, pursuant to law, up to 10 to 20,000 National Guard. We took that authorization because the law's second part required a request from who? Nancy Pelosi and the Metropolitan Police and the mayor at the time. And what did they say? No. And remember what happened for the next 2 years? They say, oh, Cash is lying, Trump's lying. And what did we find? Letters of their declination of the National Guard, refusing to have the National Guard show up. So all I can speak to is the facts, and the facts are those plus this. Nancy Pelosi and her team were busy filming a movie on January 6th while this so-called chaos around her was going down. If she had, just look at it this way, if she had said yes to the National Guard and we had 10,000 uniformed military officers established a secure perimeter, do you think January 6th would have gone differently?
It is intriguing that 250 FBI plainclothes agents were inside the Capitol on January 6th. I saw the president's tweet to get to the bottom of it. Who placed them there? What were they doing? Were they inciting violence? What can you tell us, Mr. Director?
This is a great example of the president's initiative to solve all the answers on January 6th. And it's another example of our transparency efforts. Pursuant to the president, we investigated the matter and found out why FBI agents were placed there in the first place. And it turns out we found documentation and witnesses and whistleblowers that said we were forced to go there to do riot control. Armstrong, do you know what the FBI does not do ever?
Riot control.
We don't do that. So the prior leadership sent 250 some odd men and women into a situation they're not trained for, put them in harm's way, put the individuals out there in harm's way. And also, those individuals have collectively responded or said beforehand that they were forced to go there. They didn't volunteer to do that.
And you believe them?
That's their word, not mine.
So guess who that is? It's the other guy talking besides Kash Patel.
I heard Armstrong. I don't know who that
He's
is.
He's the guy that was worried about sending too many troops to Guam because the island might tip over.
Oh, yes.
I remember that. That's him.
Oh, jeez. Well, you know what? We're at break. We'll come back because I want to comment about Mr. Patel. So,
Okay, hold on. I'm going to give my announcements for the break because if somebody has to take a restroom break, they won't rest and miss these. First off, I had an electrical problem at my house. The washroom, the break or broke, it wouldn't come back on. So I called my go-to guy, Garrett Chapney, McHale Electric and Custom Lighting. And he said, yeah, he'd try and get over there tomorrow. I said, well, you know, I don't have any water. Oh, after work. He came over and got it going. It took about 3 hours. He did some other stuff. He straightened out some things that were done by a Joe McGee electrician, one of those you hire outside of Home Depot or someplace. And he got it going. And if you have any electrical problems, anything you want straightened out, it's McHale Electric and Custom Lighting, 530-917-9599. And you can go to McHale Electric on Facebook, and you can find his Facebook page and show some of the electric. He does some custom lighting that's really impressive that's on there. And then I'm doing a podcast now with Mountaintop Media. It's called Right Side of the News. And we were going to be live every morning, every Friday morning at 7, and that's not working out so well. So we're pre-recording, and it'll be up sometime Friday. If you go to mountaintopnews.com and put a / Reading on there, because there's some other ones around the country, and you can listen to my take with some other guests, and John Knight and Leslie Sawyer's on with me. She was on with me the other day. And we're going to make an effort to keep them down to about a half hour, because I know a lot of people don't have a lot of time to sit and listen to the wisdom of Redding's
smartest man.
Yeah.
I just want to put that in there, smartest man.
Thank you so much.
I skipped eighth grade.
I skipped eighth grade.
I would have said sixth if I was a betting man in Vegas.
Okay, so anyway, Mountain. Yeah, we're the Joe Rogans of Redding. So let's go ahead and go to a break.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Redding.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Great food, affordable prices, friendly service. You'll find all that and more 7 days a week at Lulu's Eat-In and Drink-In Establishment. Open 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Saturday and 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. Sundays. From homemade soups, salads, and sandwiches to great steaks, seafood, and Italian dishes, everything is made fresh daily and served with a smile, or we're happy to serve your meals to go. Simply call in your order to 243-6251. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, daily specials, and prime rib are available any time of the day. Lulu's Eat-In and Drink-In Establishment, where Pine meets Cypress Avenue, home of the best Bloody Mary in town.
Hello, I'm Patrick Jones, former mayor of Redding, encouraging you to vote no on Measure A. The city of Redding gave huge raises in 21-22 with one-time funding, and the whole time knowing that sales tax was short. Now the city is $8 million behind, and they want you to bail them out. Take a look at who is financially supporting this tax increase and who will benefit from it. I say no on Measure A. The city needs to balance their budget, but not on the backs of taxpayers. I'm Patrick Jones, and I paid for this act.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
So, here we are back. Hey, I ran across this. I pulled it out last year, and I didn't get a chance to read it. It's one paragraph. It explains George Floyd real well. George Floyd was a criminal and a sometime thug. By the time he died of an overdose in 2020, he had spent at least the last 23 years committing crimes. Over that 23 period, he was arrested at least 9 times for everything from drug possession to distribution to theft to aggravated assault. He was stopped for a wide variety of other activities that required him to do community service and did not result in an arrest. 9 arrests over 23 years might not sound like a lot, but for more than 8 of those years, he was in prison and not able to prey on people. And they just made a national hero out of George Floyd.
Well, yeah, I mean, we could go down that avenue. That's a whole show by itself, because both autopsies, the official and the one done by Dr. Baden, there was no damage to his throat at all. And that was the whole thing, is get your knee off my neck. There was no damage to his throat. It was a complete scam. Those poor cops are sitting in prison for a crime they did not commit. And if I was Trump, I would pardon all of them and then put them in the witness protection program, because the liberals will never stand for that.
And, you know, they tried to bring a protest here to Reading right out in front of the courthouse, and our brothers, the militia from Cottonwood, changed their mind real quick.
Yeah. Yeah. That was actually a subject of conversation, is, you know, how did it go when BLM or Antifa came to town? I said they weren't welcome.
They didn't stay.
No, and the buses left right away. You know, we went into break about this Cash Patel and his honesty and this. The guy is full of crap.
Full of crap that I like.
Well, no, but the thing is, Nick, he says they have all the evidence. Why is nobody charged? Why is nobody arrested? They have all the evidence on freaking Russiagate. They know Obama ordered it. They know Clinton paid for it. They know this. There's no doubt. It's in writing. It's black.
I think John Bolton's been charged.
Well, John Bolton.
There's things getting turned over to Pam Bondi that charges might start coming up.
Well, the problem is,
if you weren't so negative, she'd probably charge him.
Well, the problem is the liberals are just counting the time. They're going to try to run the clock out. They don't have time. They have the evidence. Arrest Obama, arrest Clinton, arrest all these people that they have the evidence on. If they've got these 250, and the reality is Patel's being a little less, he's being just a little disingenuous. There's reports from whistleblowers that it was some of the FBI people that were actually instigating the agitation and the fervor and getting people worked up to go do stuff. So when he says, well, we had 250 and they weren't trained for it, there have been whistleblowers that have testified, that have said there were people in that group from the FBI that were agitating and causing people to get all worked up and go into the group mentality. Why aren't those people arrested? Why aren't they suffering in a January 6th cell? So when he does that, and, you know, again, Patel and Bagino, I had great hopes for him and Bondi. Epstein files, not released. JFK files, not released. They have all of this Russiagate evidence. Nobody's paying time. Mr. Patel, you start telling the truth and tell us when these people are going to get charged, when we're going to start to see something, because on the outside looking in, it looks like you are now part of the cover-up.
So,
there, my 2 cents.
The No Kings rally.
Ah,
yes. 3,200.
Yeah.
BS.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's 1,000 there. They managed to inflate the numbers quite often. But I read this quote from somebody that went down and paid a little bit of attention there. He says, it was mostly older white women who lead boring, unhappy lives and are desperate to express their insecurities and use the No Kings rallies as a venting or therapy session. Well, it sounds reasonable to me. I mean, you know what it is? It's all the failed recall group.
Well, of course. Now you're wrong. You're wrong. George Soros. They had the funding. They traced the funding on that damn thing, and it's money coming from the Soros Foundation that funded the whole thing nationwide.
It makes you wonder where they got those nice costumes and all the signs that say the same thing. Who paid for those?
George Soros's Open Border Society or Open Society, whatever foundation. They have the receipts. They have it. Why is he walking this planet Earth not locked up? And Bill Gates.
I think he should have been a project for the Navy SEALs myself.
Well.
You know, kind of like they use an old building to set it on fire and train firefighters.
Put him at the top.
Yes, there you go.
But, you know, there was nothing spontaneous about that. There was nothing grassroots. It was all funded, paid for, organized by a Soros-based money laundering scheme. And yet, you know, they still walk free. I don't get that, Nick. I'm at a loss.
Hey, you know what? I've got a couple more clips on the supervisors' meetings.
Haven't even talked about them today. So what's going on with our buddies at the BOS?
Oh, gosh. You know, they had a big blow-up because Signature Health wants to put in a 100 square foot health campus up in Shasta Lake City.
No, but, not 100, 100,000, I think.
100,000 square foot. Yeah. I just get so excited.
Yeah, you I'm telling you, Joe Biden's in the room, guys.
We're running out of time, and I'm just leaving words out so I can get it all in.
I'm waiting for Dr. Jill to come in and grab this guy by the arm is really what I'm waiting for.
But have you got that first clip for second half to ready? Dave's on top of it.
It's making me lose weight.
This is Big D.
Kim and Cry, we all know you're going to be asking to be chair again next year. So be aware, you guys. He wants to be chair again. He's going to ruin our county. You know, Kevin, this is your guy who actually you appointed. You appointed Clint Curtis to the election department. And it's embarrassing for you to have this guy there. But you know what this is? It's more, his wife was pulling the dolly. It's a heavy safe. And that's actually a no-show. You have some problems here. You need to censor him. You need to do something, because if you don't, it doesn't matter, because I actually did it for you. I sent a complaint to OSHA within 10 minutes. I got the call, and they got the complaint. So OSHA's on top of this already. And then I sent the Secretary of State 161 pages. And regarding the election.
So, you know what's funny about that? They held up, well, Benjamin Nguyen got a hold of the video after hours. It's probably the middle of the night, and Curtis is in there, and he's arranging the building, and they've got a safe on a dolly, and I mean, it's not one of those Elaine, it's on wheels, four wheels, and he's got his wife with a strap, and she's pulling it, and he's kind of supervising. He had his chest off. And I thought it was Tim Garman at first, big old tummy, you know, he's not Mr. Atlas. But she's making a big deal about it, and she's called OSHA. OSHA's got absolutely zero to say about it. OSHA protects the workers. They don't protect the employer, and if you're not employed, they've got nothing they can say to you. I've been on jobs where they walked up and says, well, we can't do anything with you.
Well,
you're
you know,
self-employed. Yeah, that's the way it is. And they've been pushing that, not just her. There's other ones up there saying this is a big OSHA violation. No, it isn't. Get your facts right.
Well, first off, OSHA gets into it when there's an injury, an accident, or a death. To an employee. So none of the above occurred. It's a good thing Big D was not in the grocery store when I was growing up, because my dad worked the graveyard, and so us kids wanted to go with my dad and learn an actual work ethic. We would push the pallets, you know, the trucks would come in, and we would, us kids, you know, 12, 13 years old, just wanted to hang with my dad and spend the night. We would go and push the pallets. We would have probably been reported, and funny enough, none of us got hurt, and we actually developed a work ethic, so it was really weird. Probably not beneficial to society is my guess.
Yes.
Yeah. So there you go. And then she's already going down this. Newsflash, you libtards, you demo rats in plain clothing. Let the election happen, and let's see how much chaos there is. If there isn't any, you lose. You lose. Mic drop. Let the election happen. We let your previous, who was the chick that went out that was knitting?
Joanna Francesca.
No, before.
Oh, Kathy Darling Kathy. Allen.
We let Kathy screw up elections and lie and cheat and steal. And then, Francesca came in and pretty much carried forward. Let this guy have his first election really and run it.
Yes.
And then let's judge it after the fact instead of prejudicing it before the act.
Well, they're running it down already and not giving him a chance, and not a one of them would go over there and sign up to help.
Oh, no, of course not.
Steve Gahn was going, I don't trust whoever's going to pick up the ballots and deliver them down there. I went and talked to Clint Curtis, and he said invite him to ride along if he wants to.
Yeah.
You know, crickets, didn't hear anything. So we got a phone call coming in. We don't take calls, so it's a call from Dave. But we've got another clip coming up, but we've got a No Boundaries. Well, it's not No Boundaries.
What's No Boundaries? It's got to have a boundary if there's no boundaries.
Signature Healthcare.
Yes.
You want to put that 100,000 square foot facility out there. And they needed a letter of support from the supervisors to secure a $150 million grant to put it in. And with that grant came strings attached for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what you've got is a taxpayer-funded project. They were going to kick in $50 million of their own. I got on the internet. the one we're working with is a limited liability corporation from Corona. But the big one is in Louisville, Kentucky, and they run 62 different facilities like that. So if they put this in and it goes belly up and they walk away from it.
Like Big League Dreams.
Shasta County is responsible to keep running it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a rabbit hole that's going to cost us a fortune. It'll break the county. And Kevin said, Kevin instigated that this isn't a good thing for us. We should even write a letter opposing it. Well, and they did.
Well, you know, the thing is, this is the abject stupidity of liberals and Democrats. When it was COVID and the Health and Human Services person said, lock them down, mask them up, 6 foot distancing, which we now proof beyond a shadow of a doubt was none of it was valid, none of it was true. Then we have to trust the Health and Human Services person. Now they have a new person, and that person and her staff said, this is not good. This is a boondoggle. We should not do it. All of a sudden, we should not trust the Health and Human Services person because it's not their rat. It's not their lying
well,
person.
Well, see, you mentioned Big League Dreams, which is a complete failure. It's a money hole now for the city of Reading.
Millions of dollars, and not 200 million, but millions of dollars to get that thing back up to snuff if they ever get it back up to snuff.
Yes, and then there was Turtle Bay Inn, and it's kind of paying off. Oh, Stillwater Business Park.
Yes.
Complete failure.
Abject.
When they put that in, Mike Warren, our city manager at the time, we're going to be able to pick and choose the businesses that we want to relocate here. 5 years later, they couldn't give a lot away. Now they're starting to fill it up, but it's mostly local businesses that are relocating from downtown or different areas, building their own spot. It's not new places, although Amazon is putting in a center, a distribution.
I don't know if they're putting in. I think they've secured the lot and they're going through the process. I don't know. Did they actually buy it? I didn't see if they actually bought it. They had secured it with an escrow, but maybe I'm wrong.
Okay, so you've got these same people that have sucked at the government's hind tit their whole life. They've got this new signature health, and if we don't push this through, we're just losing it. We're losing. Alan Long gets up there. $200 million. $200 million. He spoke for about 3 or 4 minutes. He said that 10 times. How can we turn that away? You know, that's what Leonard Modi did. Take every dime you can and don't worry about the strings.
Yeah.
And,
and they mentioned about, you know, our cousins in Butte and those counties around us, how, you know, their healthcare people need to, and Kevin rightfully said, look, I don't not care about people in health or in, you know, mental issues. He goes, but I care about Shasta County's people. So if Butte and them are such supporters of us taking on a $200 million nut, why don't they join together and do it?
Well, the thing is, this is a regional facility, 11 counties.
But it's our county that'd be on the strings.
That's right, and we're going to have all the undesirable. You know, and this isn't just a mental hospital. That's just part of it. It's a more or less a recovery center
for alcoholics
and drug addicts. And, you know, Christy Coleman, I think that's her last name, head of HHS, she got up there and she said, this is not going to take these people on the street, these insane people on the street. It'll take very few of them. So it's going to end, and the facility is depending on Medi-Cal paying the bills. And you know how California changes the rules.
Every year, and, you know, when the government starts to run out of money, nobody's going to be paying those bills, so it's not good. No, you know,
and this is the failed recallers that are rhyme-riding this.
Well, now, somebody I was talking to, I think, had a little bit of knowledge. Wasn't it that there was like 3 wings of this facility, and in total there was going to be like 50 or 60 beds?
48 beds.
48 beds in 3 wings for $200 million.
Well, now that's changed because in Shasta Scout today, I just looked at it, they're going to have 72 beds. It went from 48 to 72 beds. And 32 chairs, client chairs, whatever that is. I guess
well, just let that sink
out.
In. Before one person gets in there, each bed that we have to fill is $3 million. $3 million to build a room for a bed for one person who has yet not taken residency. And then we're supposed to believe there's a money-making endeavor in that, those numbers? Because $200 million by 70 is around $3 million per. I mean, that's crazy.
Well, that's right. And it's the failed recallers. They had a rally in front of the courthouse, I guess it was Tuesday or was, yeah, Tuesday. The meeting for the supervisors is Thursday this week. So, I would say about 70 people showed up. It was supposed to be a big deal, and big loudmouth, Jeff Gorder, he was up there bloviating about it. And, let's see, what's her name? Well, a couple of the others, a few people that talked, even Alan Long went down and talked in support of it. They've decided to go over the county's head and send a letter and solicit, the grant. And they're going to shove it down our throats.
Nope. Okay, so
the way they did Big League Dreams, just the way they did Stillwater Business Park.
Well, I want to support it then, but I want them to put in a clause that says every supporter, they have to put a lien against their house for $100,000.
Oh, that's not enough.
Well, no, it's not. But, I mean, then we'll see who really supports this thing. Then we'll really see if they're going to, if they're wanting to put yours money and my money on the line, why don't they put theirs?
Well, there's one good thing about, maybe one good thing about it. Rob Burles, who is known around here, he's a supervisor in Tehama County. He approached his board and said that they'd like to have it.
Oh?
So good for you. Take them.
They can't even pay their sheriff department.
See, and the
Do you remember about a year or 2 years ago, they had to stop daytime patrols because they didn't have money to pay their sheriff department. So now they want to take on a $200 million nut.
That's right.
Okay, got Rob, good luck, buddy.
See, and another thing Kevin brought up is that if somebody breaks out of this facility and goes and just breaks out windows or robs somebody or kills somebody or whatever, Shasta County's on the hook. They're not in the facility anymore. And, you know, Randall Hempling, he was on Carl's show, and I called up and talked to him for a second, and I mentioned the fact that you can't even get enough doctors in Reading. How are you going to get enough doctors, psychiatrists to staff this? And I pointed out that I went to a doctor about 8 years ago. My hands started hurting. I couldn't hardly move them. I lost all my strength. I went to a walk-in clinic, and they couldn't help me. They did a blood test. So I went to the famous doctor here in town that does carpal tunnel syndrome. And he lined me up with surgery, and I talked to another gal and discussed what was going on. She had the same thing. She went gluten-free. I went gluten-free on the spot and was gone in 3 days. This guy was going to do carpal tunnel syndrome on me. So I mentioned that, and Randall turned it around to where it was my fault. Well, you went to a surgeon instead of primary care to start with, and surgeons surge, and he made a joke out of it.
Yeah.
So that just tells me that any doctor they can get to come to Reading, they'll take. Well, and there's some piss poor doctors out there.
Well, and you know, Danuka wants to do this doctor campus school or whatever, but from seed to fruit is probably 10 years before you would even have your first doctor. I mean, probably longer, because doctors, once they get out of their basic college, they have to do residency for years and years. So, you know, the idea that Reading's going to become this hub for doctors to be trained and become educated, it's a 12 to 15 year before you have your first genuine local fruit.
But they've had that shark program. Randall Hempling has been in charge of it or running it or a big cheese in it. They haven't attracted anybody. So maybe it's time to do something different.
Well, I was listening to the radio once when they had some guy from, I think it was Mercy or RedMed, and they were talking about how they were bringing in, they brought in a bunch of doctors from out of the area, and these people had decided they wanted to stay. So at least on the radio, they sound like they were trying to do something. But newsflash, folks, the world is running out of doctors. Europe is having a massive problem. Canada is having a disastrous problem.
Well, the United States ran out of teachers. Look at these idiots we got teaching our kids now.
But doctors are getting out of it, and especially here in America, since the Affordable Care Act and all of the hurdles, hoops, and paperwork, a lot of doctors have given up their private practice, which is where a lot of us used to go. We used to go to, you know, Dr. Smith in his local office with three nurses. Now you go in, and they've got 17 people with clipboards. Nobody's doing anything because all they're doing is data entry right now.
Yes.
It's crazy.
So we're going to be the hub.
Yes.
for the mentally ill, and they consider this is going to be more of a rehab facility. It's not going to be a sanitarium. That's what we need for the mentally ill. They want to get people off drugs, off alcohol, get them back into society. You know how well that works.
Nick, it just occurred to me, Nick, I have solved the problem. I solved it.
This is spooky.
So listen up, everybody. We already have this facility. It's called the Guest Inn Suites there on Cypress, or right there on Pacelli. Aren't they filled with all of the transplant sexual deviates and people? So we've already got the facility. They could just put like a medical sign out in front, and we've got it. We've got probably, what, 150 rooms there is my guess. So I think we're good.
So I need to apologize to Dolores. Yesterday on Freedom in Action, I said that she was wanting Kevin to run for to be chair for the third time. In fact, is that clip ready? Let's get that on there. Anyway, I misunderstood her because the rude recall people were talking when I'm trying to listen to the wisdom that she's trying to spread to us.
Yes.
Being there at the podium. Let's play that if it's ready.
Opportunity for the proponents to address them. You know, Corky, Chris, you've got to take a look at this, okay? I mean, why are we not supporting this project? And why is it even considered to send a letter of opposition? It's absurd. And it's all due to Cry's vindictiveness. Thank you.
Dolores Lucero, Thomas David Halligan.
In the interest of just letting people know, I would encourage you to reach out because I'm getting messages about people rolling their letters back. So keep them coming.
That's the people that supported it.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
This
come
is
on.
Public comment. When people come up here, you're not supposed to respond. Learn your rules, your own rules. Let's look at this picture. Why are we here and why is Mr. Kevin Cry is opposing it? I'll tell you why. The bigger picture, because he doesn't want interference for his medical school. That he's pushing, that's why. It's going to interfere his agenda. That's the only reason he's going to oppose it, especially when we need it. You talk about having mental illness people out there, and yet we have an opportunity, but yet we're going to go ahead and oppose it. To what? For what reason? Because Kevin Cry has a goal. His mission is to make sure the medical school passes because he wants to use that as a platform to able to say, oh, look what I did. So down the road, he could use it as when he runs and say, look, the changes I made. Make sure you vote for me. That's all it.
So. I missed the clip. Anyway, she said that he wants to be chair for a
third. Oh, she already said that on the previous clip.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry, Dolores. I thought you were endorsing him for a third run or a third time for being a chair because he's done more for our county than any supervisor that I have witnessed in my time.
And newsflash, Nick, the lady and group and department whose job is to advise the board on this project, that's their actual paycheck, pays them to do health and human services, has resoundingly, overwhelmingly, and beyond any shadow of a doubt said, this is a boondoggle. Do not support it. So there, to answer your question, this is not a Kevin Cry generated, money grab on his part. The people that he's supposed to rely on who advise him have said, no, hell no, super hell no.
Yes, and this is going to be regional, and let's listen to what happened regionally since the Goodwill Net Rescue Mission came in. Everybody's sending their homeless to Reading.
And their sex offenders.
And their druggies.
And their violent criminals, but we digress.
And we're a parolee drop-off. They're dumping parolees here. We've got witnesses.
Yeah. Well, we don't even have witnesses. We have the police chief and Mike Johnson saying we're looking into this. We're going to find out what's going on. So it's not witnesses.
They've known it for years.
I know. I'm just saying. So this isn't like we have witnesses. You have the police chief saying, oh, we've had an uptick in registered sex offenders all of a sudden, like 201 month.
You know,
let that sink in, folks. 200 new people came to our county to register as sex offenders.
When Matt Plummer, I talked to him, he says, well, the data doesn't say they're out of town homeless. So I sent him five different people. One was that Anna that saw a busload dropped off up here. He didn't check one of them, so I guess he just checks the data he wants to check to come out with a, you know, what is that? Oh, it's not here handy either. There's a new term for these guys. It's BAM, B-A-M-N, by any means necessary.
Oh.
That's what they're doing, and I apologize.
We're at the end.
Oh, darn, I'm just getting started.
I know, you got sweat on your head and everything. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Bye. We'll see you next week. We'll see you next week.
That's right. We'll be on next week. Make up for cry.
The Newsroom Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.